Hey, this is Chaplain Tony Repik here. Just want to remind you that this podcast does not imply any endorsement of any commercial organization, product, or belief system.
The mission of the United States Air Force is to fly, fight, and win. Air power. Anytime, anywhere.
Hey everyone, well, this is Chaplain Tony Repik again. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Balance Podcast. Again, the concept of the Balance Podcast is comprehensive readiness for life, both in and out of uniform. And we're touching on those four areas of comprehensive fitness: mental, physical, spiritual, social. And today, I have a personal friend, a mentor that was graciously offered to give his time to come in here today and talk about nutrition and supplementation. And in America, we're a mess. I'd say somewhat even in our armed services and in the Air Force, we're a little bit of a mess. We have access to more food than ever, but we are very unhealthy. In fact, the number one killer in America is heart disease. And I would say a lot of that's contributed to our diet. And I'm going to let Chris Conway talk about his expertise there in this area. But I would be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, Chris is a great friend of mine, and I trust him to deliver some good information to you today if you're listening. And spread this word, because this nutrition stuff we'll talk about and supplementation stuff, I think, is going to help you, your family, and anybody that tunes in today. So first, Chris, thanks so much for coming in. Thanks for being willing to do this. And yeah, just give us a little background about your story, why you got into the nutrition industry, what you're doing today, and how you're helping people today.
Yeah, sure. And thank you for having me, Tony. It's an absolute honor to be here. I have such respect for everything you do, always have. So, you know, as a younger person in my early 20s, I always wanted to be self-employed. An opportunity came up to get into the health and wellness space. We opened a store and, you know, we started selling vitamins and providing, you know, nutritional protocols for individuals. And it's evolved over the years as the industry has evolved. And now the store Solutions for Health, which is based in Wayne, PA, I have licensed nutritionists that work in the store. So you can come in and get free guidance. And that model has just resonated to such a high level, because everybody's kind of looking, everybody's sort of confused, like, what should I eat? What supplement should I take? Mm-hmm. Hey, I have this health condition. What should I do about it? Our goal, our mission is just to take the guesswork out and give people the tools based on the research to produce the best possible health outcome.
It's fantastic. And then you mentioned the retail store, but you have nutritionists on hand there. It's very different than walking into a GNC, if you will, or something like that, because you're going to get that personal touch, and they're going to assist you and help you. And again, I know you do those consultations originally, you know, initially you even do a free consult just to get like a baseline of where people currently are in their life, right?
Yeah, or absolutely. Nutrition level. The data is so strong today, and the research is so strong. And I think people's lives are busy, you know, and the health and wellness piece might not, you know, fall into the top areas that they have time to really do the research and put the work in. So we sort of take the guesswork out. You come in, you know, based on your age, your gender, and what health condition you have, we're going to customize a protocol specifically for you.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We call them self-care protocols, because it's everything you can do on your own time to produce the best possible health outcome. Now, a lot of this is based on epigenetics, and this is a big area of interest of ours. You know, genetics is what you're born with.
Yeah.
You've heard people say, oh, it runs in the family.
Sure.
Well, it rarely does it actually run in the family, less than 15% of the time. Hmm. And that means everything you do, diet, exercise, nutrition, has an effect on your genetic expression. And this is what ultimately causes you to optimize health or health to deteriorate in one way or the other.
Yeah. And it's interesting from my perspective as a chaplain, when I counsel and meet with people, I try to get them focused on what can you control in life. And what you and I are talking about, this is some of this, actually a great portion of it, is very controllable. You can't control your genetic piece, but you can control what you're putting in your body, how much exercise you're pushing yourself the limits to, your sleep, what you put in your body from supplementation. So there's a lot more control here than we really think.
Data on that, Danny, yeah, is more clear than ever.
Mm.
In every health condition, you brought up heart disease earlier.
Yeah.
Right? Biggest killer in the country. You know, I'll use an example. I tell people all the time, you know, what is heart disease? Heart disease is when calcium calcium builds up in your arteries and blocks your arteries. You have a heart attack. You're not getting good blood flow to the heart. This is all dietary in nature. You don't wake up with heart blocked arteries.
Yeah,
you got to put years and years of work in to get to that level.
Sure.
And that's why, you know, diet and exercise are so important for vascular health, which is cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
And really, you know, type 2 diabetes, which is a precursor to heart disease, same thing. You're not born with type 2 diabetes. And that's something you have complete control over through diet, exercise. And now the supplementation piece, the data is so strong and the evidence is so strong to use that as a piece of the puzzle to optimize your health. And it doesn't matter what condition.
Yeah.
Rarely are you born with a specific health condition.
Yeah, no, it's good info. And, you know, you touch on some really important things about just our, you know, physical fitness and nutrition. We put the uniform on. We're required every year to pass a test. We get taped. There was a while during COVID we didn't, and I think that was probably, honestly, a little bit of a detriment. Gave a little license, like, oh, I'm not going to get taped. I don't have to worry about putting a few pounds on. But that compounded effect over time definitely affects us as people, and it can hurt us. I mean, we can get, honestly, kicked out of the military if we're not keeping up with our, you know, our physique and just in our physical frame in general. So this is some great stuff that we're already starting to talk about. So I guess one of the things, you know, you got people that are going to listen to this, Chris, who are brand new to the military, just starting out, very young in their careers, and some that have been a long time in, and, you know, the pay scale is going to be very different. So how does someone that's younger, heck, there's old, we just talked about it before we kicked up the podcast off. If you can't manage $50, you can't manage 50,000. So even your higher paying individuals sometimes don't know how to budget, don't know how to spend money anyway. So how does somebody in America today eat clean, eat a good and live, you know, nutritional wise, but not make a deep salary? Because, you know, if you go to Whole Foods or some of these stores, it's expensive to buy organic food.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. We could probably do a whole podcast just on this question.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try to simplify this for people. I said, just eat real food. You know, there's a saying, if it grows, eat it. If it doesn't, don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's another example. The beauty of today is you can get all these healthy foods at incredibly reasonable prices. For instance, to your point, you know, Whole Foods Market is very pricey.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work for the average person on an average income. Yeah. However, you could go to a Trader Joe's or an Aldi. It's the exact same products, and they're literally 50% less. So just eat real food. There's this idea, and these companies have created this idea that fast food is healthy food, and fast food is inexpensive food. But you can easily, you go take a family of four to McDonald's, or any fast, you know, you're going to spend $30.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, you could easily feed a family of four for $30 with super healthy food. So it's just that sort of situation, that argument that, oh, I can't afford to eat healthy, just does not exist anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just making the right choices. And, you know, like everything, when you eat healthy food, you crave healthy food. When you eat sugar junk food, you crave it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the food scientists are well aware of that. They know the more sugar you drink, the more you're going to crave.
Right, right.
And this is the process that begins all these health concerns.
Sure.
Especially obesity and type 2 diabetes. These are sugar problems. These are processed food problems.
Yeah, yeah. And you make an interesting point, because even at Wawa today, if you stop in there, there's that middle section in the Wawas that are all, it's fresh fruits and veggies. You could easily pick something up there. But a lot of people bypass that and they go for the racks of all the chips and all these other things. Which then leads to this question, because there's studies, and I know you and I have had these conversations over the years. In a lot of these bagged and processed foods, there's tons of oils and stuff like that. So someone that's listening, they're buying some healthy food. Let's say they buy some good veggies and they want to then throw them in a skillet. They want to, you know, sear them up a little bit, do a little bit of a, what do you call it? I don't know.
Saute.
Yeah, saute, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, what kind of oil? Like, there's so many different types of oils out there. If you were to say, what are the best to use and the most effective ones that we should be consuming as people?
Yeah, so great question. So the best oils for heating high temperatures are avocado oil, coconut oil, ghee, which is, you know, like a type of butter that has a high heat point.
Okay.
So those are your best ones. But here's a tip that I tell all my customers and clients. If you want to saute some vegetables or whatever, do it in broth, right? Just put in broth because the broth will dissipate down while it's cooking the vegetables.
Okay.
And by the time they're done, the broth is gone, the vegetables are all cooked, and then put it on a plate, add some olive oil to it. Now you haven't altered the oils by heating them.
I see.
And you're getting all the healthy benefits of healthy fats. So any sort of olive oil, avocado oil, all these things are natural, mm-hmm. especially when they're not altered by high heat.
Gotcha. So that's the issue is sometimes you'll even see products, they'll have it will say avocado oil, but it might have been fried at a gajillion degree temperature,
right.
which then make it not healthy.
Not as healthy, right.
So it's just understanding those things. And again,
try sauteing in broth.
Broth, that's interesting.
You know, it's no calories, there's no fat, there's no downside, it's inexpensive, and it works incredibly well.
Like a vegetable chicken broth, whatever. Yeah, okay.
Whatever you got.
Nice. I mean, these are great nuggets. I know people are going to take what you're talking about and hopefully apply them. This is, you know, because again, we're going to get into something in a minute where I've seen people around here lose weight like real quick. It's because they went on like a keto or is Atkins even a thing anymore? That was a thing in the past, but the concept is still there where you cut carbs. That is just not good for you long-term, obviously. So if we can get people to understand just these small little basic steps to change their lifestyle, this isn't a diet, this is a lifestyle change, right?
Exactly. And you know, the weight loss obviously is such a huge issue.
Sure.
Right. We have the highest obesity rates in the world. Obesity is now one of the top three causes of cancer, right? Nobody realizes that.
Wow.
That's just real.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also the number one cause of heart disease. I mean, and type 2 diabetes, which are the big guns here.
Sure.
So I think it's to understand weight loss is, again, I try to keep things really simple. Number one, you got to eat the right food. Either your body recognizes it or it doesn't. If it doesn't recognize the food you're consuming, it's going to be stored. And that storage often turns to fat.
Mm.
Okay. Now, second, don't eat more calories than you burn throughout the course of the day.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
The data is very clear. If you're burning 2,000 calories and eating 4,000, you're going to gain weight, especially if they're not good calories.
Right. Right.
So the simplest way to do that, if you're trying to lose weight, is to do it slowly. Don't try to have 20 pounds in 1 month because that's very radical often. It's just the little tricks. Don't eat after 5 o'clock. Eat real food.
Yeah.
If it grows, eat it. If it doesn't, don't. If you're eating animal protein, make sure it's sourced well. Grass-fed, organic. There's tons of local. You can get them anywhere today.
Yep.
Trader Joe's, all these places.
Yep.
And, you know, the big piece, again, we could do a whole podcast on movement and exercise. But nothing, no pill on the planet will ever replace exercise.
Yeah.
When you exercise, you stimulate vascular health, blood flow throughout the body. So when you have optimal blood flow, that makes the brain work better, makes the heart work better. Every organ in the body works better with optimal blood flow, including not an organ, but your metabolism. So if you have an altered metabolism, you just don't metabolize calories as efficiently as you should.
Right.
If you have an optimal metabolism, it's always working and you're burning what you eat and you're building muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing burns fat quicker than building muscle. When you build muscle, you burn fat.
Yeah. Now, that's a great point. There's going to be another podcast. We're going to talk more about fitness because I'm big into that myself. And I think it's to your point, you can't just work out and not eat healthy, and you can't just eat healthy and not work out. It's a combination. I mean, we're in a time, and you know, as human beings, where we don't have jobs typically that require us to move a lot. So it requires us to be more proactive and to get after physical fitness.
Totally. And one of the, you know, we all have parents, aunts, uncles who are concerned about neurological disorders, right? Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia. Every neurological order is rooted in lack of blood flow to the brain. Meaning they're not getting enough blood flow in the brain. It could be because of inflammation, plaque buildup. But once you get less oxygen and nutrients to the brain, it's just not going to work as well. The simplest, best way to stimulate blood flow to the brain, movement, exercise.
Yeah.
A dear friend of mine who's local, Dr. Jerry LaMole, a retired cardiothoracic surgeon, a remarkable human being, wrote a book recently called Lymph and Longevity, all about the lymphatic system, right? Which is this system runs all through your body. He calls it the river of life. And the key to it is to keep it flowing. And when it's flowing, everything works better. It's a remarkable book and so simple to understand. But as we age, we tend not to move as much, which is exact opposite of what we should be doing.
Yeah. What was the name of the book again?
And Lymph and Longevity.
Lymph and Longevity.
All about the lymphatic system.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. And yeah. I want to go back to something you said, because I think I saw this correctly. Heart disease is number one killer. Cancer is number two. Like 22% heart disease, 19% cancer. And you mentioned obesity, and there's a connection to cancer.
Yeah, I think obesity is now the second or third number one cause of cancer.
Is that right?
Yeah, because when you're obese, it causes, you know, sort of a cellular disruption. Mm. The cells are being put in a situation where they're not going to function at a high level. And this creates bad cellular expression, which leads to cancer.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and the data is very clear on that. You know, I don't know if I explained it as easily as I should have, or as well as I should have, but the data is very clear on that.
Yeah, no, you're good. I just was trying to connect that, because again, it's back to nutrition again. It's back to eating well, which connect the number one and number two killers for Americans.
Yeah, we always use these analogies, you know, to try to get the point across.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell new moms, you know, what would you do if someone put a Coke or soda in your baby's bottle and fed it to them? You'd be beside yourself.
That's like, right.
What are you doing? But how is it any better for them when they're 5, when they're 10? And somehow, as we age, we think it's okay to start putting all this unbelievably unhealthy food in our body. Great. We consume stuff we wouldn't give our dog ever. Right? Would you ever put a can of Coke or soda or your dog's bowl?
No. Never, right. Yeah. It is interesting how this our psyche doesn't connect to that at times.
Exactly.
It's like we're conditioned to not do it or something. In fact, you know, I was thinking about this. I went to the FIFA World Club Soccer's going on. My son's into it. So
nice.
We've been to a few games. And when you go to these stadiums, there is nothing good to eat there.
I know.
There really isn't. And I'm looking around and I'm like, what the heck do I get? A bottle of water. Okay, check. But I want some food. It is very difficult.
And you're in a situation where you run out of choices and people just buy it.
That's right. And it's unfortunate. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got to know, there's no real answer to that. I think, again, it's just the point is you get stuck sometimes. And then I think we sort of get dumbed down to it. And again, this isn't about getting political, but with RFK, his concepts of like, hey, we got to start pulling all these additives and garbage out of our foods, because over time, those were added in there, and you mentioned it at the beginning, I think, to cause us to become addicted to some of it and come back.
Oh, yeah. There's clear data on that. There's also, we're doing it for economics.
Yep.
Right? It's
yep.
cheaper to do it that way.
Sure.
But I think the movement, from my perspective, being in the industry that I'm in, is just absolutely a positive for everybody. Who doesn't want to be healthier? Who doesn't want to eat healthier food?
Yep.
So you have RFK doing his work, which is great. You know, Dr. Oz is now also in the government. You know, he is his whole career. He was a remarkable, unbelievably accomplished heart surgeon, right? And a lot of people don't even know that. They just remember him from his show.
Sure.
But his show was all about, let's be healthier.
Yeah.
And here's all the different ways you can do it. So,
right.
You know, focus on the message. And, you know, and these people they're on a mission.
Yep.
And now they're in a position where they can make some bigger scale change.
Sure.
Which I think is very positive.
And everything we're talking about, going back to what you said at the beginning, if you're eating it, if it's growing and you're eating it, again, we don't know some of the maybe pesticides that are sprayed on things, but if it's organic, right, you don't have to worry about some of that. But if you go to a store and you buy what has been grown, you know you're gonna be in good shape. You're staying away from all that nonsense and garbage.
And to your point, there's more farmers markets than there's ever been.
Is it really?
Yeah, there's more CSAs, community service agriculture.
I belong to one, actually. Yeah.
So you get you can't get much higher quality than
that. We go pick too. So
exactly,
it's an
incredible way to connect with nature.
Yeah,
you're getting elite quality.
Sure. And to be honest, the price I pay is very reasonable.
Right.
To go and pick the berries and pull the carrots out and all we do all kind of neat. I've never had dishes before like I do now, because you find what to do with some of these natural, you know, natural things that popped up from the ground. So
it forces you to become a little bit of a chef, right?
It does.
You have it.
It does.
What should I do with it? Now you're going to look up, hey, what's a great way to make this, or make dandelion root, or make, you know, Brussels sprouts, and then you'd learn all these things. And
right.
And then you're really, you know, and the more you eat that stuff, the more your body desires.
Sure, sure.
But the data on the phytochemicals, right? Those are the nutrients, mm-hmm. polyphenols mm-hmm. found in different fruits and vegetables is just remarkable.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so clear.
So look, if you're listening, it is pretty simple. You pop into Wawa, you're hungry, you want to go somewhere where you know you can get some fresh ingredients, period. That's it. Again, we're not talking about, what I do get people, because I talk a lot in just my normal discussions around here about these things that you're talking about, not to the expertise you have, Chris, but some will say to me, well, I still like to have my ice cream or a piece of pizza. And you know what I say? Do it occasionally. You could do it once a month or whatever. Don't like deprive yourself. But the problem is, as Americans, we live on those things. We 4 days a week, we're eating pizza. 6 days a week, we're eating crappy ice cream, you know? So
exactly.
It's not like you can't do it. You just have to do it less than you know, eat healthy more often than you eat the other garbage, if you will.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, most all health conditions are you know, sort of self-inflicted, right?
Sure.
You've created it based on your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And you can do the opposite. You know, I try to be very positive. I don't like to so much focus on, oh, you have this. I say, let's focus on what we're going to do to get you down the path.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, I would tell you the biggest joy I have in my business is when someone comes in 3-4 months later and shows me their blood work and tells me they don't have these issues anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, as you know, the work you do, that's what you're here for. That's the whole mission.
It's true.
And that's a great feeling. Yeah. And we luckily, very fortunately, get that all the time.
Yeah. And that's one thing I really appreciate about you and the way you've run your business. I mean, as you said, it's just about taking care of people. You do the right things. You're going to have not only a good business, but you're doing good things with your business. You're not just making money. You're changing people's lives. And that's
the mission.
That brings the joy and the satisfaction.
We always say nothing matters but the outcome.
Yeah.
Right?
I like
it. Because we're here for an outcome.
I like that a lot. Yeah. Again, we can keep going on this. Oh, yeah. A couple other things I'd like to get to, Chris. This is great. You're just breaking some good things down for our folks. So I want to turn to supplements for a second. So as we're talking, right? If someone might even in their mind say, well, that's great. Thanks for sharing this with me. I'm gonna go to that more natural, if it grows, eat it. I'll have all the vitamins and nutrients I need, right? Or do I still need to take vitamins? So talk a little bit about that, because there's a lot out there today. There's a lot of things you could buy. And so, yeah.
So much. And it's almost overwhelming.
It is.
Right? And now you have all these social media channels. Everybody selling product on these social media channels. So when someone would come to me or to the store, you know, we say, look, optimizing health is like a multi-step situation here, right? One, exercise, absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm.
Eating real food is essential. And then supplements are a piece of the puzzle. They're not the only piece by any stretch. And I would even argue they're the least important of those three areas I just said.
If the other two are in order.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So how we operate is, in my opinion, there's more data than ever to support the use of supplementation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, it's, again, a piece of the puzzle. But we tell people that the data is very clear to take a multivitamin of some fish oil, a probiotic every day. It's just mm-hmm. going to provide extra protection.
Okay.
Right? If you have a specific health problem, concern, then we get very specific based on the research. So if you come in and you're having trouble with your blood sugar, then we're going to give you information to show you targeted nutrients that have been clinically shown to help regulate your blood sugar.
Yeah.
So it's a piece of a puzzle. And now the data is so strong for every heart condition. I mean, the data on using CoQ10 for heart health is remarkable.
Mm.
The data on using lion's mane, which is a mushroom extract for neurological health, is absolutely, now a lot of these research in the past year and a half, it's been coming out about nitric oxide, which is what your body produces as it relates to vascular health.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's so much good data on the importance of optimizing vascular blood flow. So now there's products around that.
Gotcha.
So we try to be the basics, but then specific based on your situation. And I think the data is stronger than ever.
Yeah. And I'm glad you broke a few of those products down too. Again, I know anything you mentioned there wouldn't affect us because we do get popped for urine analysis. So we have to watch some of those products.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, if you heard what Chris had said there about supplements, just be cognizant of what you're taking, do research on it. But, you know, those basic vitamins. But I just want to go back again. I love how you broke this simply down. Like, first, get your diet under control. Start there. Make sure you got a nice workout going. And then supplements would be next. And so I think a lot of people, though, they want the quick fix. So they'll go supplement. They'll go the shots. They'll go these quick routes that just aren't effective long term.
Right.
They're short term, just quick fixes. And they're not even a fix. They're just a quick little momentary change.
So to your...
Not lasting.
You brought up arguably the biggest problem in healthcare today.
Mm-hmm.
The quick fix. Everybody thinks you go to the doctor, you have high cholesterol here, take a statin. Mm-hmm. Okay. It might help alter your blood work results, but you never fixed why you have high cholesterol to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You go to the doctor, oh, you're pre-diabetic, take this medication. But you never fixed why you're pre-diabetic to begin with.
Mm.
Again, it's all epigenetics. And this is the challenge we have in our healthcare system today. People don't want to change their behavior. They just want to take more pills.
Yeah.
I think the average 55-year-old takes 5 prescription medications a day.
Is that right?
I mean, think about that. So what we're trying to do is explain to people it's a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
If you're doing all the right things, hopefully you won't need any medication.
Yep.
And that's the perfect world. They all have side effects. And it gets into the economics, which is another fascinating topic.
Right.
It's so much more costly to be unhealthy than it is to be healthy.
Mm.
I mean, it's not even, instead of going once a year to the doctor, now you're going 4 times a year and you're paying a copay. Now all your medications are copays.
Right.
So it's so much more economically healthy to be healthy.
Yeah. No, and again, I think the shock value sometimes for individuals is it costs X number of dollars to eat this nice raw organic piece when I can get this cheaper one. But if you compound it over time and health history and medication and everything else you're taking, you're absolutely right. It's almost like investing, right? You invest now to build over time.
Right.
It's a long game. It's not a short game. And if people have to just step back and look at it from that perspective and change their lifestyle, and that's what it comes down to.
And to your point, whether it's your finances, your health, it's a daily thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be looked at as overwhelming,
right?
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the economics, again, we have a huge gap in this country economically. So, but there's also, if you have the discipline, very clear ways to build a nest over time.
Yeah.
You just have to have the discipline to do it.
Sure, sure.
You know.
You know, we did during COVID, we bought some chickens too. So we got some nice awesome eggs and
everything.
It cost a few bucks to take care of, but you know, it's not a big...
I mean, there's nothing better than
fresh
egg. I mean,
I just cracked a couple this morning, actually.
You know, but another great example of what's transpired in the way things are communicated. You know, 20 years ago, don't eat eggs or high cholesterol. Now the research is so clear. It's one of the top superfoods on the planet because it's a super high quality protein, and and the yolk is packed with healthy fats and choline, which is incredible for brain health. I mean, it's a perfect example of what marketing does in this country.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. At the end, I'm going to have you, if you don't mind, just be thinking about this. There's a couple of things I want to address here, but maybe just like a quick list of like some healthy stuff, just like you named eggs, just to give people some sort of thought. Cause I know people do get somewhat jammed up. They're like, okay, if it grows, great, but what about my protein? So just maybe at the end, if we don't mind going there, but I want to talk about one other thing regarding supplements, because, you know, we do have a lot of people here that work out. We have a lot of people that, they do long distance running. There's some HIIT, high intensity training. There's, spin. There's people that get in the gym and get after. What would you say someone that is working on their physical conditioning? Are there certain supplements they should be taking pre, post, during, just in your experience?
Yeah, I'll give you sort of like the big three.
Okay.
Someone comes in, says, hey, I'm doing one of these workouts like you said. Well, number one is hydration, right? When you're properly hydrated, you get a better workout, right? You have more energy and more endurance during your workout. You also get better recovery. So that's one, electrolytes. post-workout, when you train, you break down muscle tissue, right? Amino acids, which make up protein, help you repair and build muscle. So always important to get high-quality protein post-workout, whether it's a whey protein shake that you drink or you're eating it, you know. So that...
What are some forms of whey that you can eat?
I mean, the best animal... when you get milk protein, that would be yogurt, you know, high quality milk, whether you like organic milk or raw milk, which is very becoming much more available today. And nutritionally kind of off the charts good for you if you look at the nutrients in raw milk.
Hard to get it, but it's becoming more available. I know. Yeah. We've been trying. Got to go find a truck somewhere in the middle of the field.
But, you know, and then you get into, you know, fish, you know, wild fish, incredible quality protein, sardines, you know, eggs, you know, egg whites are incredible quality protein. You know, so every protein has what's called a biological value, meaning how well is it absorbed? How well is it utilized in the body? And whey protein and egg white protein are by far the two best quality proteins for muscle building.
Nice.
And you've heard of this too, but creatine, the data on creatine, you know, it's fascinating the way it came to the market. I think the University of Pittsburgh found that it helped burnt kids that were being burned in a fire regenerate muscle tissue quicker.
Is that right?
And then from that, it became the biggest muscle building supplement in history. But the last 3-4 years, what they're finding is as you maintain muscle mass, as you age, it protects your spine, it protects your heart, it protects your brain, all these muscles in your body. So now, you know, at the store, women are the biggest users of creatine because they're trying to maintain muscle mass as they age, which will prevent osteoporosis.
Interesting.
It's also the data on neurological health is remarkable. So I would say electrolytes, protein supplements, and creatine are probably the biggest products in the sort of exercise space right now.
Gotcha. And you know, there's this years ago, and I haven't looked in studies on creatine more recently, but I remember years ago, like when I was, I just got to know you in the early 2000s, there was different thoughts about taking it long-term might not be good for you, but I've seen a little bit of studies recent in the past couple of years that that's not the case at all.
Right.
It's good to take. And I've been taking it. I use it all the time and I don't feel bloated from it. I have no health issues. I feel pretty strong for a 47-year-old, you know, in the workouts that I do. So it's interesting that you brought that up as well. So,
and, you know, people don't realize that the brain's a muscle, the heart's a muscle.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want to maintain muscle mass in those areas.
Sure.
If either one of those begins to deteriorate, atrophy, they're not going to work as well, and you will feel that.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned it, women, because... When you think of women and they're trying to stay fit, usually they're not trying to do the bulk thing that some of the younger guys like want to get big. And so that concept of protein and creatine for them are like, oh, I don't need that because I don't need to be big. It's not about being big. It's about just lean muscle, right?
Maintaining muscle mass.
Maintaining it, yeah. So again, if you're listening to this, there's just some great nuggets that you're dropping here for us today, for us to share. And, you know, again, I said at the end, you know, we're cooking along pretty good here. And so as we kind of land this thing, you already touched on a few as we just talked about good whey protein. But if you were to list, someone's tuning in and they're like, this is interesting. I need to make this change. I'm going to look at that, you know, fresh foods and things that grow. Run off a list of like, I don't know, 20 things that you personally eat weekly, and it's part of your regimen, your diet.
Yeah. So let's see. For breakfast today, I had a bowl of avocado, banana, blueberries, and soft-boiled eggs. And then I put some olive oil on it after. So I eat that, and I can interchange that all the time.
Yep.
Again, real food, great quality, super nutritious.
Yeah.
We developed a shake at our store called the Nourish and Flourish Shake. So it's our top-selling thing. So I often will drink a protein shake in the morning too, based on time.
Yeah. Whey protein, of course, in there. Yeah.
Whey protein. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. At lunch, you know, eat, again, real food. I'll have some cheese. I'll have some berries. I'll have some nuts. You know, if I'm going out, I'll have a salad with protein on it.
Yeah.
I definitely feel better when I eat animal protein. So that's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to find what works for you. But for me, from an energy perspective, when I eat animal protein, I definitely feel better. I'm a big fan of like sweet potatoes, real potatoes, purple potatoes. I'll eat those, and then some more protein and vegetables. I eat a ton of bok choy, number one, because I like it.
Yeah.
I like it better than I like broccoli.
Really?
But they're both cruciferous and super nutritious. I eat a ton of mushrooms. So we talked earlier about a good breakfast. You know, you can chop up some onions, some bok choy, and some mushrooms, and saute them with some broth, throw a couple eggs in there, poach them. Incredibly nutritious breakfast. I try to add garlic to almost everything I eat. I try to eat two or three cloves of garlic a day, because it's just, the data is so clear on its nutritional effects. It's a great antibacterial agent in the body, great for heart health. So yeah, just try to eat real food, I think. Not to complicate it. It takes the same amount of time, the same money, and the same effort to eat healthy today as it does to eat unhealthy.
Yeah, and that's great.
You know, we have, we can go, we could talk for hours.
I know,
about
we could.
So yeah. I'll give you another example. You know, I have a lot of parents come in, young kids with ADHD, you know, and that's a real issue.
Yeah.
So the question is, why? Were they born that way, or was it created through bad behavior, diet, things like that?
Yeah.
So it's important to understand why it happened, but then you have to understand that what you eat is going to make it a little better or make it a little worse, and that's why food is so important. If you're getting up and having a couple bowls of sugary cereal, no value.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And negative value, especially for someone who's already dealing with something. But if those same children that have those issues, if you give them great quality protein, you know, phytonutrient fruits and stuff, it's going to just help their situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned like milk and yogurts and stuff, especially, I stay way away from the sugar-free stuff. I want that good fat, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
I think that's, you mentioned avocados and nuts and just good fat. Eggs, good fat. Yogurts, good, get the stuff with the fat in it, not the, you know.
It's so essential.
Sugar.
Fat is essential for heart, brain health.
Mm-hmm.
And these are healthy fats we're talking about, right? Not bad fats.
That's right.
Also essential for energy, right? Real fat, healthy fats are quickly converted to energy in the body, where trans fats, processed fats, are not. Those are stored in the body.
Interesting.
So it's very important. Often I try to explain to people, what happens to the food after you eat it? What's your body doing with it? What is it? What, it looks at it and says what? So you want it to be quickly converted, you know, nutrient dense, that provides real energy, not caffeinated energy, real energy in the body.
Yeah.
And this is how you get into a system where it really works.
Yeah, this is great. I mean, again, we could have spiderweb in another direction too. Because one area we didn't even talk about, and I'll throw it out there. Maybe I'll have you back sometime.
Yeah, anytime.
I'll get some feedback, and I'm sure we're gonna get some good feedback based on just what you've come here to deliver today. But sleep.
Yeah.
But we have folks that work 24/7 here up in our ops group and the security forces, and they every 30, 60, 90 days they're changing their circadian rhythm. And so if you have a good diet, though, it's not going to impact you as much.
Right.
You have a good regimen built, it's not going to impact you as much.
And to your point, what happens with people that have schedules like that, or people that have to get up early and don't have good sleep, they're always looking for energy. And this is how we get hooked on caffeine.
Oh, yeah.
So
whole nother topic. I should probably bring you and just talk about that. I like my coffee.
Yeah.
I like to say I like the taste of it. I know there's caffeine in it, but I rarely tap into caffeine to be my energy source. I don't need it for energy. I really don't.
Yeah.
I could take it before a workout, Chris, and I don't know if you, or I cannot take it. I really don't even notice a difference.
Interesting.
I think because I eat as well as I can and I try to stay fit, so it just doesn't bother me at all one way or another. So I just don't even use it for that purpose at all.
Yeah. And to your question about sleep, I mean, again, the data on sleep is so remarkable, that what happens while you're sleeping, you know, the repair in the body, the recovery, the regulation of like all your metabolic function in the body, all this occurs while you're sleeping. You know, you have young kids too. I mean, young adults, young kids, you know, we like phone stays downstairs, no phones in the bedrooms, you know, all these little things make such a difference with social media today. It's so intense.
Sure.
And we all go through it, you know, and these phones have, they have a lot of benefit, but they're also absolutely addicting, you know? So, again, that's a whole nother topic.
It is.
But I think the ability to just have really peaceful sleep is very important. And when you're healthy and your metabolism is working well, you have a much better chance of having a really good, strong 6 to 8 hours every night. If you're not healthy and you have metabolic issues, you're much more likely to wake up in the middle of the night.
Mm, interesting. Yeah. Well, we definitely got to book something else, you know, another topic to get you in here for. But just to kind of recap, and I do want you to share your website here in a minute. But again, eat clean. If it grows, eat it. Get into a physical, some sort of workout. Again, I've talked a lot about that here at the Wing. And if you're listening, there are plenty of opportunities for you to come on base to work out, join some local gym, local groups that do some fitness, and then think third about the supplementation. So in that order, I think if you begin changing your life and you adopt that lifestyle, you're going to be as healthy as you can, and you can control that. Things you can't control, you can't. It's fine. But those are three that you can control. And if you have further questions or even some things that Chris talked about, you could do some of your own research. But I do want him to throw out there his website. If people have some questions, Chris, maybe just, again, your business, if they want to reach out to you. And you're locally here in Wayne, PA.
So. Yeah, and I have to throw one more thing.
Yeah, go there.
So I have a lot of people that work behind their desk all day in front of their computer over the years. So we developed it. We call it the desktop workout. So we tell people, look, do 2 push-ups an hour. Every week, add 2 and tell me how you feel in 3 months.
Interesting.
Within 3 months, they're doing 150 push-ups a day. They can't believe.
Wow.
But it's so slow and gradual.
Yeah.
It had 0 effect.
Yeah.
Mentally or physically. And I have 60-year-old men doing more push-ups than their 25-year-old kid. And it's just hilarious. I say, don't tell them until you get to, and then offer a push-up contest and see what happens.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it's an honor and pleasure to be here. Yeah. Our website is solutions4health.com. You can go there and you can sign up for our consult free. We always give a free 15-minute consult. You can also text us 610-291-8152. If you have a specific health concern, say, hey, please send me information on this. We'll customize a protocol for you as an individual and email it over. No fee, no cost for that either. So again, we're just here to help and, help people achieve optimal health because, life's so much better when you're healthy.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Chris, thanks so much for coming today. And thanks for those that have tuned in. Again, if you have further questions, you even want to just come talk to me, I'll try to point you in the right direction as I always do, or I try to do anyway as a chaplain here at the One Left Attack Wing. And again, thanks for your time. And Chris, thank you for bringing just some great information to our folks today.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here.
Very good. And again, this is Chaplain Tony Repick, the Balance Podcast, comprehensive readiness for life in and out of uniform. And we're out today.